We're doing Pirkei d'Rablezer. And we are up to the 36th chapter. Perek Shisha u'Shloshim, Perek Shloshim v'Shisha. And we've noticed that the Pirkei d'Rablezer is going really in the order of the Torah, just going off on major tangents. So now we've reached the discussion of Yaakov Avinu. We spoke about Yaakov Avinu's dream. We spoke about Yaakov Avinu's vow. And now, after all this, Yaakov Avinu makes his way to Lavan. He's on his way out to Haran. The Medrash begins, "Belechtecha lo yitzar tza'adecha ve'im tarutz lo tikashel." Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, when you go, don't walk small footsteps, and if you run, you won't stumble. Lo tzaru tza'adav shel Yaakov ve'lo nechshal kocho. Yaakov didn't walk small footsteps. His strength didn't stumble either. Uchigibol koach galal etevin ma'al pi ha'be'er. And like one of great might, he just rolled that huge stone off the mouth of the well. Ve'ayta ha'be'er olah v'shofechet ma'im chutzala. And the well rose to greet him and poured water out of itself. The well was overflowing in his honor. Ve'ra'u ha'roim v'tamehu kulan. And the shepherds saw and they all wondered. Ve'lo ayu yicholim legalgel et ha'even. They couldn't roll the stone off. You had three shepherds there. They couldn't take the stone off the well. The Yaakov galal otah levadom al pi ha'be'er, and Yaakov alone rolled it off the mouth of the well. Rabbi Akiva omer, kol mi shu nichnas le'ir. Rabbi Akiva says, whoever enters a city, umotze ne'arot lefanav, and he finds girls, young girls before him, darko matzlachat lefanav, his path is about to be successful before him. This is a sign of success. Now, the question is, what does he mean? Does he mean whatever he does will be successful? Or, like other midrashim seem to indicate, if he's looking for a shidduch, so then his way will be successful. If he's on his way for a shidduch and the girls are coming out of the city towards him as he comes to the city, that's a sign things will go well. How do you know this is so? Come, we'll prove it. We find this as a recurring theme in Tanakh. We have Eliezer, Avram's servant. Even before he entered the city, he found the girls coming out towards him. Shenemaz, the verse says, behold, I'm standing by the water. And what is Eliezer say? The continuation of the pasuk, uvnot anshei ha'ir yotzeot lishov mayim, and the girls are coming out towards me to draw the water from to draw the water. Va'kadosh baruch hu itzlech darko. We see God made his path successful. Shneimar, the pasuk says, va'Hashem itzlech darki. Eliezer himself says, God made my path successful. So you see, he came to the city, the girls were coming out towards him, and he succeeded. From who else can we learn? Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe our teacher. Even before he entered the city of Midian, he encountered girls coming out towards him. Shneimar, the pasuk says, ulcho en Midian sheva banot. The priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came out of the city to draw from the well. And he succeeded, and he went on to be king. And from where else do you know it? Now here, by the way, that which Moshe became king, so the simple understanding here is that Moshe ultimately became the leader of the Jewish people. And the pasuk says, Vayhi bishurun melech, among Yeshurun, which is a reference to the Jewish people, there was a king. And that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is, if that was the intent of the Medrash, then is that Moshe Rabbeinu's claim to fame? That years later he became king of the Jewish people. At any rate, the simple understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a lad when he left Egypt. He left Egypt at 15, 18, 20. And he comes back before Paro when he's 80, 60 years later. So is this Moshe Rabbeinu's claim to fame? So there are midrashim that discuss that Moshe Rabbeinu, either before coming to Midian or after coming to Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu went on to be king of all kinds of nations. He had all kinds of military victories before he went on to be king of the Jewish people. And The question is, can this Midrash be an allusion to that? The question is, also, why is this the claim to fame? Unless we say that directly after the story, he went on to be king of different nations, as there are Midrashim that say. Now, the only problem is that those Midrashim are of questionable origin. The Midrashim that say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a king in different nations before he came back to lead the Jews out of Mitzrayim, that it's questionable, and some Rishonim say it's nonsense, that it's not a good source. It means it doesn't show up in the Medrash Rabbah or Medrash Tanhuma. It shows up in far-out works, which we're not sure if they're traditional works or where exactly they came from. Meaning we have works that we know we've had on traditions. And then we have works that just showed up, and it's unclear where they came from. So there's a place where the Yaivitz writes, Rav Yaakov Emdin, that certain works, Sfarim Chitzonim, what people call the Apocrypha, he says that some of that is Christian, has nothing to do with tradition. So I'm just saying. Medrash Lilit. You have a Medrash about Lilit, Sefer Makkabim. We don't know, it depends which one. There's Megillat Hashmonaim and there's Sefer Makkabim. So Sefer Makkabim, it's unclear where it comes from. Megillat Hashmonaim, we have on tradition. From time of the Gaonim and earlier. So back to the Medrash. So the Pekud of Lezer over here says, Moshe Rabbeinu came to the city, and the girls were coming out towards him, and you see, he succeeded, he became king. And where else can I prove it from? Where else can you see this concept? You can see it from Yaakov. That's our primary discussion here. Even before he entered the city of Haran, he found girls coming out before him. Shneimaz, the pasuk says, and behold, Rachel, his daughter, is also coming out with the sheep. So the Medrash is assuming it wasn't only Rachel, it was many girls who were coming out of the city. And that was a sign that he would be successful. Ravuna says, the question here is that Ravuna is an Amora. And if this Medrash is a Tanaic Medrash, so how come an Amora shows up in the Medrash? So we always have to question whether there were additions to the Medrash. Meaning, the Medrash, the way we have it today, did later generations add to it? That's one possible answer that's quoted by the Radal. Or maybe the correct version here is Rabbi Chanino or Rabbi Tachana. That he's the Tana that's supposed to be quoted here, and it's a misprint. But these are difficult things to say, so we need someone who really knows. I don't know, the Radal himself, Rav David Luri himself, was a huge Talmud Chacham. He himself was in doubt how to make heads or tails of this, that Rav Huna suddenly appears in the Medrash. Rav Huna's an Amora. This is Pirkei, we're saying this is Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer composed the Medrash, or much of the Medrash is Rabbi Eliezer, so then this needs work. Hakol tzapui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just by the way, this concept that things were added is not a foreign concept. I mean, the Gemara says that later generations, a generation or two after Rebbe, added the opinion of Rebbe's grandson to the Mishnah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that. And the Rishonim say that Rabbanan Savaroi added things to the Gemara, or that the printer, someone added things to the Gemara. Well, he said that there's an opinion that every time you have Rav Achai in the Gemara, it's Rav Achai the Gaon. That not an Amora, but a later generation that his opinion was incorporated in the Gemara. You have the Ritva in the beginning of Kiddushin. You have sections that we say were additions, later additions. Even though we say the Mishnah was sealed in the days of Rebbe, except for minor things that were added. There were certain things that were added. The Talmud was sealed in the days of Rav Ashi, but there were minor things that were added after Rav Ashi as well. And sometimes it's not clear what was added and what was not. So here also, I don't know about this Medrash. Like, we have Rav Huna's opinion. How does Rav Huna enter this Medrash? Hakol tzapui lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is already seen before God. God's anticipating everything. Kodem sheba Yaakov leCharan, before Yaakov came to Haran, Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did God do? Shalach magefa betzono shel Lavan. He sent a plague among Lavan's sheep. Menishteru me'at me'arbe ma'ashayta l'chel ro'ah. And there remained very few from the masses of sheep that Rachel had been shepherding previously. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, V'rachel ba'ay matzon asher le'aviyah ki ro'ayhi. Rachel came with the sheep that her father had because she was a shepherd. What does it mean, because she was a shepherd? That God made it that there was a plague and there didn't remain many sheep, and because there didn't remain many sheep, so Lavan said, I don't need to hire a shepherd for so many sheep, even my little girl Rachel could take care of the sheep. Meaning it's unusual that a person would leave his daughter to shepherd his sheep. So the Medrash is saying God wanted Rachel to come out and meet Yaakov at the well. So God saw to it that many of Lavan's sheep would die. There would remain very few sheep. Lavan wouldn't want to spend the money on such few sheep to hire a shepherd. So he tells his daughter, Rachel, you take the sheep from now on. And this was all God's planning, so that Rachel will get out there and meet Yaakov at the well. So you see, God's making shidduchim up in Shemayim. Sometimes a bunch of sheep have to die in order to make the shidduch, but Hashem is working on the shidduch. So Rachel's coming out with the sheep. How do we know that there were only a few from the many that Lavan previously had? The pasuk says, Yaakov would watch Lavan's remaining sheep, and the Medrash over here understands the remaining mina magefa from the plague. This Medrash needs a lot of work, because this pasuk is talking about an occurrence that happened 14 years later. And the Medrash is saying this happened when Yaakov came to Haran. So the Medrash needs work. Yaakov tells Lavan, you and I both know that God gave blessing to you because of me. Liragli could mean by my feet or because of me. Yaakov's feet procreate for Lavan's sheep. Mikan amru, from here our sages say, Yesh regel adam mevarechet bayit, v'yesh regel adam marchevet bayit. There's the feet of a human that gives blessing to the home. There's the feet of a human that expands the home. V'aya regel Yaakov mevarechet, and Yaakov's feet brought blessing. Wherever Yaakov went, he brought blessing. That's why it's called liragli. V'chen amar Yaakov, Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayivach Hashem otcha leragli." God blessed you with my feet, meaning when I came here, things went well for you. V'chena mal Lavan liYaakov, and that's what Lavan also says to Yaakov. Nichashti vayivachini Hashem miglalecha. I've checked with my sorcery, and the reason God blessed me is because you've been around. So Yaakov comes to Lavan, and blessing comes together with Yaakov. How do you understand the pasuk says, Yesh regel adam mevarechet mait, v'yesh regel adam marchevet mait? There's a feet of man that blesses the home, there's a feet of man that expands the home. So we can understand this going with the Midrash that says that Yaakov only had girls till, that Lavan only had girls till Yaakov came along. When Yaakov came, so part of the blessing that came to Lavan's house was that his family expanded. He had male children, he had boys. But there's room here to explore a little bit more depth into the Midrash. It says that all the children, when the pasuk enumerates the Jewish people, the 70 people who came down to Egypt, the pasuk calls them Yotzei Yerech Yaakov. They came out of the thigh of Yaakov. And sometimes in Tanakh, because the Tanakh wants to use a clean language, so the Tanakh does not refer directly to the maleness of a person. It refers to it as the person's foot, because that's the closest thing to the male organ. So the question is over here, is there any point in the Midrash that the Midrash, when it uses the word regel, is really referring to his potential for procreation? I'm not sure. I don't see that the commentaries say it. I'm uncertain whether we should say that here as part of the Midrash. When Lavan heard that his nephew, his sister's son, Yaakov, was there, and his might, what he did by the well, Ratz likato, he ran towards him, lenashko ulechabeko, to kiss him and to hug him. So the Medrash says he heard that he's got this powerful nephew coming, so he comes and he kisses him and hugs him. Shneimal, the pasuk says, "Vayichi shmo Lavan et shem Yaakov ben achoto." When Lavan heard the reputation of his nephew Yaakov, he came out and kissed him and hugged him. Vayomer Lavan Yaakov, achi achi ata va'avatani chinam. Lavan tells Yaakov, "Just because you're my brother, you'll work for free. So tell me what wages you want." Was Yaakov really Lavan's brother? He was his sister's son. He was his nephew. That a person's nephew is referred to as his son. And a person's nephew from his brother is like his own brother. So this also needs work, because Yaakov was ben achoto and he's called achiv. And we're saying that ben achiv is ke'achiv and ben achoto is bno. So I don't know how to make this medrash work. I don't know. The Marzu really says that you have to change the version of the medrash. You have to say that ben achoto is achiv. You have to change the word. Instead of bno, you have to say achiv. I don't know. Uminayin anu lemedim. Where do we learn this from? Avraham Avinu. From Avraham, our forefather. Shama lelot, Avraham tells Lot, "Al natim riva beni uvenecha uven roi uvenachecha uven roecha ki anashim achim anachnu." We are brothers. So that fits that Avraham calls his nephew, the son of his brother Haran, Lot. He calls him, "We're brothers." The chatuv chadomer. Another pasuk also says, "Vayishma Avraham ki nishba achiv." Avraham heard that his brother was taken into captivity. That's a reference to Lot, who was his nephew from his brother. V'chiachivaya was Lot his brother. V'alo ben achivaya, but he was his brother's son. He was his nephew. Ela lelamedcha, but rather to teach you, sheben achiv shel adam ke'achiv. That a person's nephew, his brother's son, is like his own brother. Uvnei vadnav shel adam kivanav. And a person's grandchildren are like his own children. Uminayin anu lemedim. Where do we learn this from? Yaakov. We learn from Yaakov. Shneimar, she'amar, Yaakov said, Ephraim u'mnashe. Yaakov tells his son Yosef, "Your two children, Ephraim and Menashe, my grandchildren, Kiruven v'Shimon Yuli, they are to me like my own children, Reuven and Shimon. V'chi banav ayu, were Ephraim and Menashe really Yaakov's children? V'lo bnei banav ayu, they were his grandchildren. Ela lelamedcha, but rather it is to teach you, shebnei banav shel adam kevanav, that a person's son's sons, his grandsons from his son, are like his own sons. Where do we know that a person's grandchildren from his daughters, meaning his daughter's children, are like his own children? Where do we know this? From Milavan. We learn it from Lavan. Shamali Yaakov. What does Lavan tell Yaakov? He tells him, Habano, the girls that you married, your wives, Bnotai, they're my daughters. Ve'abanim, and the sons that they've had, the grandchildren, are Banai, they're really my children. Vatzon, Tzoni, and the sheep is my sheep. Were they really his children? They were his daughter's children. They were his grandchildren from his daughters. Ela lelamedcha, but rather to teach you, that a person's daughter's children, meaning his grandchildren from his daughter, are like his own children. Okay, now that we've went on this tangent to explain that a person's nephew is like his brother and his grandson is like his son, we go back to the story. So Lavan tells Yaakov, "You're my brother, you don't have to work for free, what do you want?" Yaakov says, "I'll work for 7 years for Rachel, your little daughter." Hitchil Yaakov la'avod b'isha sheva shanim. Yaakov started working for the woman 7 years. And the reason that the Medrash uses this terminology is because that's the pasuk in Hosea. That's the haftar over there. Vayavod Yisrael b'isha. Ve'avod Yisrael be'isha uve'isha shamar uvnavi. The Paskin Hosea. That's the haftar over there. Ve'avod Yisrael be'isha. Our grandfather Yaakov, also known as Yisrael, worked 7 years for a woman, meaning he worked for his wife Rachel for 7 years. Lachar sheva shanim, after 7 years of work, he comes to marry Rachel. Asa shiva yamim mishteh v'simcha. He made 7 days of drink and rejoicing, v'lakachet Leah, and he married Leah. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Maleh shavu azot." Lavan tells him, "Complete this week, Vayasi Yaakov kin, and Yaakov did that. Vaymaleshvo azot, he completed the week. He did Sheva Bracha, 7 days of partying with his wife, even though it wasn't the wife he wanted. But he had 7 days of parties with Leah. Ve'odosif shiva yamim mishte, ve'lakach et Rachel. And then he had another 7 days of rejoicing, and he married Rachel. Shneimal, the pasuk says, ve'iten lo Rachel bito, he gave him Rachel, his daughter, as another wife. And all the people of Haran gathered to do kindness with Yaakov. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Vayasof Laban et kol anshei hamakom vayas mishte. Yaakov gathered the people and he made a party. So the pasuk seems to indicate that the people gathered, they wanted to do kindness with Yaakov. Yaakov's been part of their community for 7 years. So they all wanted to join in his rejoicing that now he's an old man, he's finally getting married. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Atem gemaltem chesed im Yaakov avdi, you did kindness with my servant Yaakov, you rejoiced at his wedding, af ani eten lachem srachem ba'olam hazeh, I'll pay your wages in this world, bishvil shelo yeh noach la'Hashem la'atid lavo. Because in essence you're wicked, and I don't want to have to pay you back in the world to come, so I'll give you your wages in this world. What are the wages? Shneimals, the pasuk says, Naaman saltzva melech Aram. Naaman, the officer of Aram, he was a very successful general. So God paid them back that the people of Aram, these people of Aram Naaraim, the people of Haran, they had success centuries later. Lakach Lavan et shtei shifchotav umtanan lishtei bnotav. Lavan took his two female maids. Untanam lishtev notav, he gave them to his two daughters. It says he gave Bilah and Zilpah to Rachel and Leah. He gave them as when they got married. He gave his servants. B'chishiv chotavayu, were they really his maids, Bilah and Zilpah? Valob notavayu, but they were really his daughters. He was their biological father. What does it mean he calls them his maids? Ela lilamitcha, but rather to teach you, shebanav shel adam mipilagsho, the children one has from a pilegesh, from a woman who he doesn't take in full marriage. He doesn't take responsibility to take care of her. He doesn't give her a ksuba. They just live together. So Lavan had women who he lived with, but they weren't his wives. So the children he had from those women were nikre'u shfachot. They were called maids. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Vayiten Lavan l'Rachel bito et bilha, or et zilpa shifchato. He gave his maid to Rachel, his daughter. So these girls, even though they were his daughters, because they were his daughters from a pilegesh, from a woman who wasn't completely his wife, they are referred to as maids. Rabbi Levi amar, Ra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'tzar tashileya. Rabbi Levi says, God saw how Leah was suffering. V'natan le'aryon beten, v'nichumim le'nafsha. Poor Leah, she wasn't happy in the marriage. So God gave her a special blessing. She got pregnant right away and she got comforted. V'yalda ish tov tov v'chacham. She gave birth to a tremendous person. The second he was born, he was exceptional. You looked at him, he was a person who had understanding, he was wise, and right away the child shone. And that's why the pasuk says, "Ve'amra," that when Leah saw him, she marveled. What a gift! Re'u ben shenatan li Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the son that God gave me. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Vata alav atelit ben, vatikra shmo Reuven." Leah got pregnant. She gave birth to a child, and she named him Reuven. Ve'alken kara shmo Reuven, and that's why she named him Reuven, because she marveled. Reuven was a phenomenon. You saw this child, and he was marvelous. It was a special gift that God gave Leah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Mishiva Chodashim Yalda Leat Panea. Leah always gave birth to premature babies. They always were delivered at 7 months. Ulusheva Shanim Nalduli Yaakov Achad Sashvatim Uvat Achad. So in 7 years, Yaakov Avinu had 11 tribes and one daughter. And the only way you could fit it into 7 years, if you take into account all the times it would take, is if she actually gave birth to a child every 7 months. So all the Shvatim were born prematurely. They were all preemies. It's also interesting because Yaakov was an old man when he married them. So that means that his whole life, how old was he? He was approximately 80. So that means his whole life, it was 80 or 84, I don't remember the exact numbers. He's getting to be an old man, he doesn't have any kids. And then in 7 years, he's got 12. And that's pretty phenomenal. Dechulan noldu zibuganimam. And every one of the tribes that was born, they were born as twins, not only preemies, but they were twins, boy and a girl. And the girl was their mate. They married that girl. Chutz mi Yosef, except for Yosef, shelo nolad zivugoimo. He didn't have a twin. Shaita osnat batina huyalo liisha, because in heavens they planned that Dina's daughter, Osnas, would be his wife. Vechutz mi Dina, and the only other exception was Dina, Yaakov's daughter, shelo nolad zivugaima. She wasn't born with a male mate. Amram. So when Leah saw that until now she's been having twins, and now she has this one daughter, Dina, she said, "Hayelda zot dinu mishpati. This girl is all about judgment. Ken karashma Dina. That's why she called her Dina. What does it mean, this girl is all about judgment? So we say, the Pasuk says, a person may not live with his sister, chesed. What does the word chesed mean? So Chazal say that God made a chesed. God did a kindness with the earlier generations, that Cain and Hevel all had twin sisters and they married their sisters. There was a period when people were capable of marrying their sisters, and that's the chesed, that God allowed the world to be built in that fashion. So that's called Olam Chesed Yivaneh. The world was built through Chesed, through the fact that God permitted Cain and Hevel to marry their sisters. So each one of the tribes that had a sister that they married, that's Chesed. Dina, she's born alone. She's born alone. That's a concept of Din. So there's room to question. So then, why wasn't Yosef called Din? Yosef was also born alone. So it could be that until Yosef was born, they looked at Dina and they said, she's the first kid to be born alone. Must be there's some Din here. When Yosef was born alone, so everyone thought, oh, must be, that's her Basher. So Yosef isn't Din. Yosef has a girl. He has a sister that didn't have a mate. Maybe. Alken karash madina. Ve'od haya Rabbi Eliezer omer. Furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer says, Barach Yaakov lavo Lavan. Yaakov ran away to come to Lavan. Uvarach latzet mipnei Lavan. And then Yaakov runs again to leave Lavan. Barach lavo Lavan minayin. How do we know he ran to come to Lavan? Shneimar, the pasuk says in Hosea, Vayivrach Yaakov sedei Aram. Yaakov ran to the fields of Aram. So the pasuk describes it that he was on the run. Barach mipnei Lavan minayin. How do we know he ran from Lavan? Because the pasuk says, Shneimar vayigad leLavan beyom haShlishi ki barach Yaakov. Lavan got word on the third day that Yaakov had ran. V'lama barach? Why did he run? Shamalo Kadosh Baruch Hu, because God told him, Yaakov, eini yachol leshaken shchinati alecha b'chutz laaretz. I can't place my shchina upon you out here in chutz laaretz. I want you to go back home so I could put my shchina on you. That's why Yaakov ran away. God told him, return to the land of your forefathers. That's why he ran. And Lavan took his whole tribe, his clansmen, the city, all these powerful people, and Lavan gave chase to kill him. So Lavan is on the way to kill Yaakov. Yarad Michael, the angel Michael, came down, v'shalaf, drew his sword, and Michal wanted to kill Lavan. What are you doing going to kill my Yaakov? Amarlo al tedaber mi Yaakov mitov adra. Don't you talk to Yaakov, good or bad. And Amar, as the pasuk says, vayvo Elokim el Lavan arami b'chalom alayla. The potent came before Lavan, the Arami, in a dream of night. Hishkim Lavan ba'boker. Lavan awoke in the morning. V'ra'at kol ashol Yaakov. And he saw all of Yaakov, everything Yaakov had. He sees Yaakov, he's come across the mountain, and he sees Yaakov. And he tells Yaakov, Kol elu mishaliu, everything you own is mine. What do you mean? How'd you make all this money? It's all from me. Hoil v'lakacht et kol eile, if you took all of this, you've already taken such wealth from my home, lama ganavt et elokai, what'd you steal my God for? Et atrafim sheli sheitim shtachavelem. You took my human idol that I used to bow to. Umayin atrafin, what are the terafim? What kind of idol is this? Shochatin adam bechor. How did Lavan get this trophim? In order to make trophim, one has to slaughter a human firstborn, umolekin et rosho, and then boil the skull, boil the head, umolekin oto bemelach uveshemen, and then salt it with salt and oil. Vechotvin al tzitzahav shem ruach tuma, and then you take a slither of gold and write on it the name of a defiled spirit. Umanechin oto tach leshonon, you place it under the tongue of this skull. And you place it in a wall, and you light candles before it and bow to it, and then it speaks. How do you know that this form of idol, this trophim, speaks? As the pasuk says, for the trophim spoke lies. That's why Rachel stole them. She didn't want the trophim to tell Lavan that Yaakov had ran away. Not only that, but also to remove Avodah Zarah from her father's house. She didn't want her father to stay with his Avodah Zarah. And Yaakov didn't know about any of this. And Yaakov said, whoever stole the trophim, yamut b'lo ito, will die early. They will not live out their life. And if the tzaddik says something, it's like an angel said something. And so Rachel gave birth and died at childbirth. As the pasuk says, and it happened as her soul came out, for she died. Why does it refer to her death twice? Bitzet nafsha, as her soul left, kimeta, for she died. It's a reference to the fact that kimeta, for she died, as a result of Yaakov's curse. Rabbi Yehuda says, shlosha avot kartu brit imamei haaretz. The three forefathers made a pact, made a treaty with the nation of the land. Ve'elu hen, Avraham, Yitzchak, ve'Yaakov. Avraham karat brit imamei haaretz, kshegalu amlachim alav, haya savur shem mochei am haaretz. Kshenigalu amalachim alav, when the angels appeared to Avram, he thought that there are guests from the land. He thought there were Arabs. He ran towards them. He wanted to make a big meal for them. He tells his wife, prepare three sa'ah of soles. You know what three sa'ah is? A sa'ah is a figure, two Coke bottles. I mean, you're talking about a six kav. A kav is 24 eggs. So you figure a kav is a Coke bottle of flour. Six of those is six Coke bottles worth of flour. That's just Lushi Vasi Ugot, the cakes that he's making. Aside from that, he slaughters goats before them. So Rashi says, he said, take three saw so you'll refine them, and then the refined flour will be much less. But Pashupshad, he was making a huge meal for these Arabs, these angels that he thought were Arabs. So he told Sarah, let's make a great meal for our guests. Botasha'a, at that time, Kshaita Lasha Sarah, as Sarah was kneading the dough, Rata dam nida. Sarah saw that her period began. Lefichach lo yishle min algot. That's why we never find that the cakes were served. They never served them that dough, that bread that Sarah had baked, because Sarah had become a nida. She had, her period had begun, and therefore in those times they were very careful that the people didn't eat the food that a woman made while she had her period. So Avram runs to bring a young cattle or young ox to slaughter for them. And the ox ran away. And Avram's giving chase. The poor old man, he's just had a circumcision. He's 3 days into the recovery unit. He's suffering. It's a broiling hot day. These three Arabs come in the scorching desert. He says, let's make them a great meal. And now the young ox is running from him, and he runs after it until he enters that famous Na'ara Samachpela. And he went after the young cattle. And when he enters the Na'ara Samachpela, he sees Adam and Eve resting on beds. And there are candles lit by them. There are oil lamps lit. And there is a great smell, like the great smell that is offered before God. That's why Avram Avinu desired that Me'ara Samachpela. What's it called in English? Me'ara Samachpela. What do they call it?
Cave of the
Patriarchs. Okay. as an inheritance, a place that will be permanent, a permanent burial place for his family. אמר לבני יבוס לקנות מערת המכפלה במחר טוב ובזהר ובשטר עולם לאחוזת קבר. So he said to the Yevusi who were there that he wants to purchase this cave from them with a good contract, with good gold, with a contract that's eternal for a permanent burial plot for his family. וכי יבוסים היו, were they really the Yevusi? ולא חיתיים היו, they were the Hittites. אלא על שם עיר יבוס נקראו יבוסים, but because of the city of Yevus, they are referred to as the Yevusim. And here he's really coming to answer a question that it says David HaMelech couldn't attack the Yevusi because of the treaty that the Yevusi still had from Avram and Yitzchak. Well, wait a second. Avram and Yitzchak didn't make the treaty with the Yevusi. What treaty did the Yevusi have? So he's saying they weren't really Yevusi. They were the same Hittites. But they were referred to as the Yevusi because their capital, their city, was called Yevus. They're really chitim. They are called Yevusim because they called Jerusalem Yevusi. They called the capital, the city of Jerusalem, they called it Yevus. And that's why they were called Yevusim, because they lived around the city of Jerusalem, which they were calling Yevus. Velo kiblu anashim. So Abraham tells him, I want to buy this plot of land. They didn't want to let him start a new burial plot over there. התחיל קורא ומשתחווה להם. So he started bowing before them. התחיל קורא ומשתחווה עליהם שנאמר וישתחו אברהם לפני עם הארץ. אמרו לו, they said to him, אנו יודעים שהקדוש ברוך הוא עתיד ליתן לך ולזרעך את כל הארצות האלה. We know ultimately God's going to give you and your offsprings all of these lands. קרות עמנו שבועה שאין ישראל יורשין את עיר יבוס, כי אם ברצונם של בני יבוס. We'll let you have this burial plot if you promise us that the Jews will not inherit the city of Yevus unless the Yevusi agree. And only afterwards was he able to purchase the cave, the Maras HaMachpelah, b'mechel zahav, in a sale of gold, u'vichtav olam l'achuzat kaver, and in an eternal contract as a place to bury his family. Shneimaz, the pasuk says, וישמע אברהם אל עפרון וישקול אברהם לעפרון את הכסף אשר דיבר באוזני בני חת 400 שקל כסף עובר לסוחר. מה עשו אנשי יבוס? What did the people of Yevus do? עשו צלמים של נחושת. They made figurines of copper so they should last for a long time. והעמידו אותן ברחוב העיר, and they placed them in the city center, וכתבו עליהם שבועת אברהם, and they wrote over there Abraham's vow that he would never let his offsprings would never overtake the city of Jerusalem unless the people of Yevusi agree. וכשבאו ישראל לארץ, and when the Jews came to inherit the land of Israel, רצו להיכנס בעיר היבוסי. They wanted to enter the city of Jerusalem, which was known as the year of Yevusi. ולא היו יכולים להיכנס מפני אות ברית שבועת אברהם. They couldn't enter because of the promise their grandfather Abraham had made. שנאמר אז הפסוק says, ואת היבוסי יושב ירושלים, etc. וכשמלך דוד ורצה להיכנס בעיר היבוסי, and when David became king, and he wanted to enter the city of Yevusi, לא הניחו אותו, they wouldn't let him, שנאמר, as it says, ויאמר לדוד, they said to David, לאמור, לא תבוא, הנה, you can't come here. ולא היו ישראל ככל הים, the Jews were plenty like the sand of the sea, why couldn't they conquer the city of Yevusi? אלא מכוח ברית שבועת אברהם, but their strength was, they had the covenant, they had the promise of Abraham, that they would not take the city of Yevusi from them. ראה דוד וחזר לאחוריו. David saw they had these engravings, the treaty they had with Avram. David retreated. שנאמר וישב דוד במצודה. David went back to his fortification. He couldn't attack the city. אמרו לו, אין אתה יכול להיכנס בעיר היבוסי עד שתסיר את כל צלמים הללו שכתוב עליהם עוד שבועת אברהם. You can't enter the city of Yevusi till you remove all these figurines that have on them the sign of the promise of Avram. שנאמר, as the pasuk says, כי מסריחה העברים והפסחים. אלו הצלמים שנאמר עליהם, על כן יאמרו, עבר ופסח לא יבוא לבית. They said, until you remove these figurines, you can't enter. אמר דוד לאנשיו. So David said to his people, כל מי שיעלה בראשונה ויסיר את הצלמים הללו שכתוב עליהם עוד ברית שבועת אברהם, יהיה לראש. Whoever enters first and removes these figurines that have the sign of the treaty with Avram, he will be leader of the army. ועליו הראשונה יואב בן צרויה, Yoav ben Tzruya, his nephew. Tzruya was David's sister. Yoav, the son of Tzruiah, he went first. Vayilagosh, so he became the leader. He was the chief general. Shneimal, the pasuk says, Vayal barishma Yoav ben Tzruiah. Yoav ben Tzruiah went first. So what's going on here? Why does it help if he removes the figurines? Let's continue a little bit, and then we'll have to focus on this question. And afterwards, he purchased the city of Yevusi for the Jewish people with an eternal contract. How did he do it? He took from each tribe 50 shekel. Total it was 600 shekels. Shneimal, the pasuk says, "Vayiten David lo Onan." David paid Ornan 600 shekel for that area. So this was Avram's pact. And in order for them to take the city of Yerushalayim, they had to figure out how to get around the pact. And the way they got around the pact was by removing these figurines. How does that work? You guys have koach? You want to go in depth? Or you want to finish the chapter and we'll leave this as a question, and next time maybe we'll get back to this? Okay, so let's finish the perek, and Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll get back to this. There are a few pshatim. It's better to do it next time, because then we could go more in depth. Well, if we do this time, we'll discuss one pshat. Seder, let's finish the chapter. We'll finish the chapter in the Medrash. Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll have a special class. In 2 weeks, Thursday, we'll come back to this. Yeah. There's a lot to say about it. There's an Abarbanel, there's a Malbim, there are Pirushim on the Medrash. There's a lot to say. In short, so one chat says, let's leave it. One chat says that they had a whole pulley system. They had a system that was run by water, and the water would move. It would move wheels that would. They had these idols that were. They didn't have to fight. You couldn't approach the city, because they had these like robots that were powered by hydropower, by water. And they had swords and they had weapons, and they would just stand there twirling around their weapons, and you couldn't approach the city. The only way you could overtake the city is if you could stop the flow of water. And that Yoav was able to leap into the city and stop the flow of water to stop these idols that were standing around the city protecting it. There's another pshat that says that David had a halacha question. They claim there's a pact between them and Avram. How do I deal with the pact? And the court ruled that, being that they broke the pact first, they attacked us first, we're not responsible for Avram's pact with them. They didn't keep their end of the deal. These are two approaches. There's more to be said, because the Medrash doesn't seem to be going with either of these approaches. The Medrash seems to be saying something else, and that's why we have to discuss this at greater length, meaning there's a lot to be said. But you wanted to know directions of the discussions of the Rishonim, so that's a petach for the Rishonim on the Psukim and the Chazal, but there's more, because we have to work with this Medrash. That's what I'm saying. If our whole question is what happened there, that's one thing. But the Medrash seems to be giving us a different understanding, and the question is, what's the Medrash telling us? Okay, so we'll finish this parak and Bezrat Hashem next time. We said all three of the patriarchs made a pact. Avram, we just discussed his pact. Yitzchak, he also made a pact with the nations of the land. Kshigal be'etz Plishtim, when he lived in the Philistine territory. Ra'otam shafchu pnei mimenu. He saw that the Philistines turned their back on him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Now, the truth is, they didn't only turn their backs, they kicked him out. They told Yitzchak, leave. V'yatzamim b'shalom, but he left them in peace. V'alchu achav Avimelech v'chog gdolav, and ultimately Avimelech and all the great people of the Philistines came to him. Amar lehem, hafachtem p'necha mimeni v'achshav batem elai. And previously you turned your backs on me, now you're coming to me. Shneimal, as the pasuk says, v'yomer aleihem Yitzchak, mado batem elai v'atem sneitem oti v'tishalchu limitichem. Yitzchak said to them, why are you coming to me now? You sent me away, you hated me. What did they answer him? V'yomeru, they said, ra'o reinu k'ay Hashem imach, we've seen that God is with you. Amru, they said, Anu yodim shekadosh baruch hu atid liten lezarchat kol haratzot halalu. We know that ultimately God's going to give your offsprings all of these lands. Korotim anu brit shein Yisrael yoshim et eretz plishtim. Make a pact with us that the Jewish people will not inherit the land of the Philistines. Me'asa Yitzchak, what did Yitzchak do? Lakach amma achat mimetek chamor shaya rochev alam. He took an amma from the metek of the donkey he was riding on. And here again. There's depth. But we'll have to leave it for now. He took an amma from the I don't know what the English translation of metig. Metig is a maldea. Yeah. It's a thing you use to help the mule go in which direction. Yeah. It's called a bite, okay? That was the sign of the pact. And again, here there's more depth. Because Avimelech kept saying, you know, I didn't touch Sarah when I abducted her. And here he was giving him, what do you do when you put the metig on the mule? It's like the bite. You're holding his mouth shut. You're guiding him with it, but you're also holding his mouth shut. So Avimelech's claim to fame, what was his right? That... Yeah, but it also prevents them from it holds. You guide them with it. So he's saying you, the fact that you were guided, you held yourself back. You didn't touch. You didn't touch Sarah. So that's your right over here to this treaty. That was the sign that they had a pact and a promise. David, and when David became king, he wanted to enter Philistine territory. He couldn't enter because of the covenant he had with Isaac. Until he took that sign, that was the sign of the treaty with Yitzhak. As the pasuk says, David took that sign from the hands of the Plishtim. And then it says, the Plishtim became subservient; they couldn't attack again. And again, this needs a lot of work because the story that it says he took the metagama is recorded later in the book of Shmuel. And the pasuk vayikanu aplishtim v'lo achlu plishtimot is recorded earlier, even before David becomes king. So the question is, what's going on here? How's the Medrash darshening it? Yaakov karad, and again, the question we'll have to deal with is what if Yitzhak made a pact? Why is the pact contingent on the fact that they're going to have this metag ha'ama, that they'll have the bite? Why is that what decides whether the pact stands? Yaakov karat priti mamei haaretz. Yaakov made a pact with the nations of the land. Shamalo Lavan. Lavan said to Yaakov, "Ani yodeh shakadosh b'chu atid liten zarchat kol haaretzot ha'el. I know ultimately God will give your children all of these lands. Kroti mibrit shvua she'en Yisrael yoshin et eretz haaretz. Make a pact, a covenant with me, a promise to me that the Jews will not inherit the lands of Aram. V'etziv lo matzevet avanim." So the Medrash is learning that when they made that pile of rocks, it was part of a pact that they would not inherit the land of Aram. And he brought the children with him in that pact of a promise. Shenemal, the pasuk says, Yaakov told his brothers, "Gather stones." Were they his brothers? They were his children. But rather, this teaches us that one's children are really like his brothers. And this possibly gives us insight into the concept of Yibum. He marries his brother's wife, he brings children to the world, and the children are there, so to speak, as a replacement for the brother that was lost. Lavan told Yaakov, if the Jews inherit the land of Israel, they shouldn't pass through the land of Aram to do harm. Shneimal, the pasuk says, if I don't pass, and you too, you shouldn't pass by this pile of stones to harm me, for bad. David, and when David became king, David wanted to expand through the land of Aram, and he couldn't because of the pact, the promise of Yaakov, till he destroyed that. Matzeva is a big stone. V'alav amar Moshe, shaber teshaber matzevotem. And about that Moshe said, break, you should break their huge stones that are used as signs. Monument. That's the word I was looking for. That stone was a monument. So when that monument was broken, then David could attack. Which again leads us to the same question. Why is it that when you remove the sign of the treaty is broken as well? How could you overcome a treaty by removing the sign? So that's what we'll have to discuss about the whole Midrash. Shnimaz, the pasuk says, "V'yach David et hadar Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova," that ultimately David did conquer Aram, v'achachach kavash Teretz Aram, he did conquer the land of Aram. Shnimaz, "V'yach David et hadar Ezer ben Rechov Melech Tzova." So what we see in this long chapter of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer? What do we see? We saw that Yaakov went swiftly to Lavan, and Yaakov was very powerful. And when Yaakov came, so Lavan came out to greet him because he heard what a powerful nephew was coming. We heard that when a person comes and the girls of the city come to greet him, it's a sign of blessing, just like Eliezer and Yaakov and Moshe. They all had this sign of blessing. God made Lavan's sheep die. There was a plague, so that when Yaakov came, Rachel would be the one taking care of the sheep and the shidduch would be made by the well. When Yaakov came, it brought blessing to Lavan's house, and there are people who bring blessing to the home. Lavan refers to Yaakov as his brother, and from here we derive that one's nephews are called their brothers, just like one's grandchildren are called their children. When Yaakov married Leah, he had 7 days of a party, and then with Rachel he had 7 days of a party. And God paid back the people of Aram for helping in the rejoicing of Yaakov's party. We learned that Yaakov's gifts to his daughter, the two maids, were really two daughters that he had from women who he didn't have a legitimate marriage with. And Leah in her marriage was sorrowful, so God gave her a gift. God gave her an exceptional son, Reuven. Take a look at this exceptional son that I've had. Leah gave birth to all her children as preemies, and every child that was born, every one of the 12 tribes had a twin whom they married, aside from Yosef and Dinah. Yosef would marry Dinah's daughter, Asnas. Yaakov ran to Lavan, and Yaakov ran from Lavan. When Yaakov ran from Lavan, Lavan chased after him with the intent of killing him. Michal warned him not to. When Yaakov ran from Lavan, Rachel took the trophim, and then we had an explanation of what are the trophim. That a firstborn is slaughtered, his head is cooked, and then salted, and then salt and oil, and they put a special gold slither with a name of a defiled spirit, and then once you light candles before it and bow to it, then it speaks. And Rachel took it, A, so that her father wouldn't know about their running away, and B, so her father should stop worshipping it. And Yaakov said, whoever took it should die an untimely death, which is what happened to Rachel. Then the Midrash went on to the three forefathers cutting a pact with the nations of the land. When the angels appeared to Avram, Avram chased after that animal, told him Maris HaMachpelah, and there he saw Adam and Eve lying with lamps lit before them and a great smell, and he wanted to purchase it, and the people wouldn't sell it unless he made a pact that he wouldn't take the land from them. And that pact they maintained, and they showed it off. That's why they were called Yevusi, because they lived around the city of Yevus, and David had a hard time conquering the city from them until Yoav was able to remove that pact. And that's why he became chief general. David purchased the land, it says, by collecting 50 coins from each tribe and paid that for the land. Yitzchak made a pact with the nations of the land when they came to him, and Avimelech said, look, I want to make a pact with you. We know you'll have the land. And Yitzchak made a pact with them, and the sign was the Meteg HaChamor. Yaakov made a pact when Lavan told him, I know you'll inherit the land, promise me you won't come to harm us. And they made a pact based on the monument of stones. And David, when he wanted to attack the people of Aram, couldn't do it till that monument of stones was removed.